the world. And so, my friends of Wallbridge metropolitan area, how has Christ called you to have something to say? And I know the temptation is, did you hear that he is going to Florida again?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Don't you think that's just a little outrageous?
I agree.
I heard that he was taking up the collection at the mission and he's using that money for his plane ticket.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have stuff to say. We have plenty to say, don't we, people of God? Pope Francis doesn't rail against gossip for nothing. Catholics all have honorary doctorates in gossip. And the more outrageous the pastor, the more outrageous the gospel. The gossip, for the love of God. My friends, let's have something to say that changes the world for good. Let's start saying more frequently, God bless you, not just when people sneeze. How about we look at people who are struggling and offer a word of encouragement? How about, God forbid, we look at people who have said something stupid to us and we say, I forgive you and I love you. What if we have something to say that changes our world? What if we have something to say that Christ intends to be said? Then we've been given a gift ever so generously, and for that gift we can be grateful, and in our gratitude we can speak what God intends us to speak. People of God, if we don't have anything to say about the power of God raising Jesus from the dead, this is a sham. This is false. This is not what we say it is. Favorite things to say. So often, the bread of life and the cup of blessing, well, they should taste sour in our wicked mouths. Because instead of using the gift of speech for the purposes that God intended, we use it so frequently for something far less noble, something far less helpful. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, I exhort you to help people hear what God puts on your heart to speak to them. And be courageous. Be courageous. When we were confirmed, we received the gift of courage. Be courageous. And speak that word to those who need to hear what we have to say. There was a need in the disciples' hearts when they accepted the call to discipleship. There is a need in the world that wants to hear the words that the disciples preached. And my friends, if we are disciples, then we must still be about the work of proclaiming the good news. I know it is not a Catholic thing, and yet I challenge you good people to go out of here tonight and make a difference in this world of Northwest Ohio and the United States of America and this earth that we call our home. Have something to say. Tell a story that edifies instead of cuts down, as easy it is to cut him down. Tell something that allows people to believe more completely. My friends, we have to have something to say. And second, we have to have something to live for. My mother is 77 years old. She'd kill me if she knew I was telling you that. She's 77 years old, and in 1960, at the age of 19, she married her high school sweetheart. And she and my dad, all these years later, 58 years later, still love each other. Sometimes hard to tell. Still love each other. It's a little rough this week because they're converting their bathtub into a shower. So they're living at my sister's. Run, girl, run, run. About 20 years ago, her dad, my grandpa, Hampa, died with complications of Alzheimer's. And not long after that, my mother was convinced that she had Alzheimer's or some form of dementia. She went on medicine, and after a few years, the doctor said, yeah, your test scores are getting better instead of worse, so I don't think this is really Alzheimer's or dementia. She lived another 15 years or so, no medicine, just living her life, and she forgot stuff, not much more than I do, 30 years younger than she is, 20-some years younger than she is. And then about 2 years ago, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. About 2 months ago, her diagnosis went from moderate to severe, and she still recognizes us. She still loves to be around us, at least on the surface. It appears that way. She still remembers our names. She's still her cheerful self. But in the middle of a conversation, candle, wax, paper, she just starts saying words that don't mean anything. And the hardest thing for her sons and her daughters to see is that she knows she's doing it. She hears that it's not right. And she struggles with going from being one of the most outgoing people I have ever met, my mother always had plenty to say, to being pretty shy, because when she speaks, it doesn't come out right. About 6 months ago, my only niece, her only granddaughter, announced that she was engaged to marry a young man. And the wedding is going to take place in some barn, well, in a church, but then the reception is going to be in some three-sided barn in western Massachusetts. Seriously, could you make this more complicated? I'm all for it. It's all good. It's all good. My sister said, what do you think this is about? I said, I think it's supposed to be look simple, costs a lot. That's what that's going to be. She has four brothers, no sisters, so my brother can deal with that. My mother, since that day, asked over and over and over again, when is the wedding? And Tori finally told her when the date was picked and the church was selected and the venue, that's a word that priests hate, the venue was chosen, everything was laid out the end of June. There has not been a single day since my mother learned of the date of the wedding, when she has not asked my dad at least 20 times when the wedding is. It became obvious to me a few weeks ago that my mother is doing everything she can to live for that wedding. She's doing everything she can to make sure that she'll get there. She even ordered a new pair of walking shoes. She doesn't walk very far anymore, but okay, that's fine. That's fine. She's done everything she can to get ready for that day. And I know, without any doubt, that we should expect, beginning in July, a very different mother in the house where they live. Because her reason for living will change dramatically. That there are three great-grandchildren on the way may ward it off for a little while. We must all have something to live for. We must all see some reason to continue our lives and to live our lives the way that we know we are called to live. A scripture passage that comes to my mind so quickly when I think about having a reason to live is the story of the Annunciation. Now, I'm sure you all are good and pious Catholics, And that means that if I were to stand up here and read to you the story of the Annunciation, you would sit there with those very same faces that you have on right now. Yeah, I used to say this to my parish all the time when I first got there. I could set myself on fire at the 4:30 Mass and no one would move. No one would move. He's burning. That'd be it. That would just be it. But think about this for just a moment. The angel Gabriel appeared to a virgin named Mary. We could start right there. I know that we believe in guardian angels. I know that a guardian angel kept me from going 70 miles an hour down that road today after the train was across the road because there was a cop there. My guardian angel is very busy when I am driving. But how many of us have had the message from an angel land upon us, you will be with child, and the child will be the Son of the Most High? And you know what they're all thinking? That nitwit is pointing to a man. My friends, it is just as logical for an angel to say it to him. What was the name? No, the other one, A-Dog. A-Dog. It's just as likely for an angel to say that to A-Dog as it is for an angel to say it to a teenage virgin. You will have a child, and that child will be the Savior of the nations. Now, we're even in more bizarre territory. An angel is speaking to a virgin, and his message is, your son's gonna save the world. What mother who knows she's gonna have a son doesn't think that already? Mine did, and look. My brother's doing very good work. And then it goes on. Mary isn't just the pious plaster thing that stands there holding the baby that mysteriously jumped out of her side. She asks the right question. Now, she didn't ask it the way I would have asked it. How can this be, for I know not man? I would have been like, what? I would have been so angry, so mystified. What are you doing to my life?